who is Antoinette Bean from Brooklyn, New York.
Yay! I'm an addict. We're coming from the dis-ease of addiction. My name is Antoinette Bean. I can't thank God enough for his grace and mercy. I'm from Bed-Stuy, do or die.
Amen.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York, from the hood. And sometimes I just get really overwhelmed with gratitude when it comes to my recovery because it was a long journey home. And my topic is happiness is optional. Well, I'm going to put a twist on that. Because I'd rather have joy in my spirit. Because happiness comes as a result of an event. Something happening that makes you happy. And happiness is fleeting. But joy comes from within. From deep within. So regardless of what trials, tribulations, and situations you go through in life, if you have joy in your spirit, you're still going to be all right. No matter what goes on, happiness is fleeting. So I'm putting a whole twist on that. It is optional. But like I said, I'd rather have that joy within my spirit, within the ism, the internal spiritual mechanism inside me, which is malfunctioned, wounded, warped, something is missing, something is lacking. Like I said, I always get very overwhelmed about my recovery because it was very hard for me to stay here in the beginning. I thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was never going to get this. Everybody else was staying clean, and I couldn't seem to get this. I kept coming in and out the rooms. I didn't understand what was going on. I had a lot of deep-rooted issues and secrets kill. I was not happy. I didn't have no joy. I didn't like who I was, always holding my head down because God scraped me up, first of all. Like I said, I came in here with a lot of deep-rooted issues. Number one, I had full-blown AIDS, no T-cells, hepatitis C, herpes, venereal warts, that's right, all of that. When I said God scraped me up, he scraped up a disease-infested addict like me and gave me grace and mercy I did nothing to deserve. I didn't know nothing about being happy. Always holding my head down. Couldn't look nobody in the eyes. Thinking something was wrong with me. Why you could stay here and I can't? It was a long journey home. That's why nobody shouldn't judge nobody in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Because our only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And you don't know what rock somebody came from under to get here. Like I said, it was a long, long, long journey home. Feeling worthless, not feeling worthy of recovery, because I was out there spreading AIDS. Spreading AIDS, that's right. Herpes, venereal warts, all of that, because I wanted to get the next one. Hurt people. Not liking who I was, not had all these secrets, afraid if I told y'all the truth about me, y'all were going to judge me, y'all were going to laugh at me, y'all were going to point your finger, having 11 children out there by different men, not knowing who the father of none of these children are, two were born with AIDS and didn't ask for this. I ain't know nothing about being happy. My mother and father, pedophiles, being molested by both of them. Being sold to old men, had to sucking on me, sucking on them, coming in my mouth, coming in every hole I had. I was not happy. I was not happy. I didn't know what happiness was. I didn't even know who I was. It was a long journey home, y'all. And I'm overwhelmed, and I'm grateful about my recovery today. Because regardless of what go on in my life, regardless of who come, who go, what go on, Antoinette B, got joy in her spirit. It's not fleeting happiness. It's a joy in my spirit that regardless, no matter what, because y'all showed me that no matter what I go through, I don't have to use. It's absolutely stupid for me to go and use to make matters worse. God, when I went to God and I asked God to please help me, and he scraped me up and he gave me a glimpse of light, why would I want to go back to that darkness? I don't want to go back there. Hell has an exit. Hell has an exit. And the journey continues. The journey continues because just because I'm in recovery, you know, doesn't mean the reality of my life has changed. Only 6 of my kids are in my life. There's more of them. There's 5 more of them. I had to deal with those 2 children that live with AIDS. They didn't ask for this. And I want to know, mommy, you know, I got this. I want to have children now. I can't have children. That's how they feel. And the worst thing is when your kids tell you, please don't tell nobody you're my mother. Please don't tell nobody you're my mother because they're ashamed of you. But I'm talking about, now I'm talking about the gifts that recovery has offered me, because now, before I was coming here, my head held down. But I found hope. And I have faith in the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, and I hold my head up. My children are gradually coming back into my life. And there's a joy in my spirit and a deep love for my children in my spirit. And sometimes I'm not happy, but I got that joy. Because I incorporate the spiritual principles into my life. See, once we start doing step work, we're supposed to incorporate the steps. The honesty in the first. The hope in the second. The faith in the third. The courage in the fourth. The trust in the fifth. The willingness in the sixth. The humility in the seventh. The forgiveness in the eighth. The perseverance in the ninth. The restitution in the tenth. We're supposed to incorporate it into our lives, because once we know these steps, that's the idea, because each step has a different spiritual principle. And that's what we're supposed to be working on. And it was a long journey home. Trying to love myself, trying to find some what they call happiness. But then when I started incorporating the spiritual principles, it wasn't about the happiness. It was about the joy. Because once you have that joy within your spirit, nobody can take that away, no matter what you go through. So today I count my blessings instead of my problems. The spirituality in the 11th step. The service in the 12th. Giving back what was so freely given to me. A disease infested addict like me who came in here with AIDS. Full blown, 0 T cells. Today I got some T cells. I got joy in my spirit. They were telling me I was going to be dead a long time ago. Well, it's been 13 years and I'm still kicking it up. I'm talking about my cancer, body cancer, big walk, had neuropathy in my leg, homebound in recovery for 2 years. They told me I was going to walk no more. Well, I got on stilettos and I'm walking now. I'm back. Joy in my spirit, having some T cells, and remission from cancer. Had the venereal wart scraped off. Now, you know, it's maintenance. Oh, we have diseases, because we come in here with other diseases, so there's no excuses. So I'm talking about joy, that real joy that comes from within, accepting myself for who I was, because for a long time I was running from who I was, because I was afraid to tell you all the truth about me, because I said, y'all ain't going to love me. You're going to point your finger. You're going to talk about me. You're going to laugh at me. And exactly the opposite happened. One day, I got the courage to go to one of my home groups in Brooklyn. It was a closed discussion meeting. It was a long, long time ago. And I raised my hand. And my husband said, please don't tell them what you're getting ready what you getting ready to do? Please don't do that. And I said, I got to do this because I'm dying. I got to do this for me. And I raised my hand. And I said, my name is Antoinette B. And I've been full blown for years, you know, because that was affecting my recovery. And anything that affects your recovery is sharing material.
That's right. Say that.
I was getting old. And you know what God showed you, you old. He showed you in ways where it get to you, have white hair on my shit. I'm like, oh no, white hair on my shit. You know what I'm saying? For real. I had to raise my hand. You know? Let y'all know exactly what was going on. A lot of things was affecting my recovery. You know, my shit wasn't working no more.
Come on, baby.
I had to share about that. But what I'm saying, I raised my hand and I let y'all know. My name is Antoinette B. I live with AIDS. I was living with full-blown AIDS. It bothered me. Y'all say, yay, talk about it! I said, oh, shit. No, but I didn't expect y'all to clap and encourage me. And they said, what else you got? I said, herpes too. He said, oh, my little hero! My little hero! Give me a phone! I said, oh, shit! No, but seriously, that's when the process began for me. Because you mean to say that all I had to do was get honest and tell your people. I'm talking about joy in my spirit. I'm not talking about the happiness. I'm talking about the inner joy in my spirit that started the healing process. All I had to do was tell you all the truth about me, and y'all were going to love me anyway. How about that? That's deep for me. That's deep for me. When I was living in my abandoned building with cancer, and the committee coming up to my house to bring me a meeting through the rain, through the snow, and the sleet, and loving on me when I was unlovable. When I was unlovable, I'm talking about being broke up, the waste syndrome sitting in my body, my stomach right, and then you was loving on me. And they were talking about, other people were talking about, you know, the normal so-called people talking about, you're going to die. You ain't going to make it. Don't tell me, you are so going to make it. You're going to make it. Because I had reference points. I did. We got so many heroes in the room. God bless the dead, little Herman. What a guy. John Kay. Jerry Newcomer. None of my friends that I came up with when I was out there active addiction are alive. They didn't get this gift. Recovery is a gift. Recovery is a gift. I'm so grateful, man. I mean, you know, it was a long, 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 long journey home. Even with my children, you know, the two who were born with AIDS, and I need to talk about that. Because both of them are long-term AIDS survivors. One got 7 years clean and she's only 23 years old. I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm grateful, you hear me? It didn't have to be like that. It didn't have to be like that. And I never raised none of my children, but today, and this happened suddenly, I've been raising, I have a son on death row. And I've been raising his son for 5 years now. He's 15. And 2 months ago, one of my children is still out there using one of my daughters. Because you know I messed up some of my kids with my using. You know, they got mental issues. And she had 5 boys. And God is so awesome. When BCW took them kids away from my daughter, I was able to step up for the 5 boys. I raised 6 of my grandchildren. Right. Tell me God ain't good! You know that I have the ability to do this! I have 6 boys I'm raising. No, I mean, I didn't even have parenting skills when I came in here. This little girl was trying to fit inside her stiletto she got on. No parenting skills at all. My pussy needed a sponsor.
I needed to guide my pussy through the 12-12, baby. Because it was tweaking at the men and it was tweaking at the women.
Come on, baby.
And those of you who love that identification, because your pussy probably was 1-2. But I know mine did. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the pussy needed to be popping and shit, everything. Being a good thing. But I was always attracted to these characters in the room. Like I had James Brown in the room, Rick James in the room, and Dennis Rodman in the room, except mine had on a blonde toupee. But I married these guys. I married them. You know, I'm trying to get to a point where, you know, and I'm still growing up in recovery because, you know, I have a lot of resentments about paying my bills. Shit, I live in abandoned buildings. I had to pay no bills and rent. You know, when my disability come, I be thinking, this is all for me. I got to pay rent, you know, but I pay it. I complain, but, you know, and I don't be happy about it. But I pay it. You know, we got to do things different today. And I'm no longer living in that abandoned building. I got an apartment. It's a long way from where I was. I ain't got no money. I ain't never had no money, so nobody gonna ask me for no money. Because I ain't giving you my money. You know, because some guys try to pimp you too. You know, they think you're getting nobody. Start asking for my money. I want to cut them. For real, I ain't giving you my money. Don't try to pimp me. For real. You know, so I'm asking God to give me some money so I can have some joy in my spirit. But I'm real joyous about, you know, they say if you put it in the universe, it's going to come to you. Yeah. So, you know, and it's amazing. We don't know the gifts we have until those drugs come out of our bodies. Because I came in here, I didn't have no hopes, no dreams, no goals, no talents, no skills, no aspirations or attributes. I put the drugs down, I find out I'm an artist, I could draw. I didn't know. No, I'm talking about, maybe it's not a big thing to you, but for me, it was a major thing. I went back to college and got my bachelor's degree in visual communications and digital media.
Wow.
That's a big thing for me. I'm talking about joy. God showing me I could do these things. So today, I count my blessings instead of my problems. God loves fixing broken people. How about that? And you never know who God is going to use in these rooms. You never know. And I truly believe that the closer you get to God and He got a purpose in your life, you're going to be attacked. Spiritually attacked. People are going to come at you. Obstacles are going to come at you. Most of the time, it comes through people. Because everybody ain't good for everybody. And that's the damn truth. I got to be honest about that. You got to be careful. Protect your spirit. Get with people who uplift you, motivate you, and inspire you in your spirit. Because we have a disease that has a character, personality, and a nature. Cunning, baffling, and insidious. How about that? Cunning being a sly, expert, sneaky, clever, witty, sabotaging, deceptive. Insidious, to trick, to puzzle, baffling. Insidious, to lay in wait. And here's the hint, already well established before becoming a parent. That's the character, personality, and nature disease. That shit's alive. It has its own character, personality, and the nature. You take a drug, that shit, next thing you know, you are. I'm stuck on stupid and stupidly stuck doing things you would never thought you was gonna do. That shit had me thinking I was young when I was old, running around with white hair on my pussy. You know, then when you get old, white hair come might pop out anywhere on your chin, on your arm. You know, for real. The mom gave me a wake up call. I was like, get the tweezers, because somebody might want this shit. Word, you know. But I cleared up myself, you know. Today, you know, I'm undetectable.
Wow.
They can't find that shit in my blood. It don't mean I don't have it. I'm just talking about maintenance. I'm talking about my joy from within.
Wow.
My two girls who was born with, they undetectable too, because I'm being a powerful example to them. They're following me, keeping their appointments. They're making meetings. And I'm coming up on 10 years, and I still sit in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So if you knew, you sit in the front. You look directly in the speaker's mouth. That way you get to hear whatever the speaker got to say. You look in his eyes, so regardless of who, what's going on around the meeting, people could be talking shit, boo, blah, 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 and all that stuff. You get what you need, because you're sitting in the front. Recovery is a gift. Count your blessings instead of your problems. Count your blessings instead of your problems. If God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. And I'm going to leave you with this. All through life, let this be your goal. Watch the donut and not the hole. My name is Antoinette B. Thank you for being here.
I'm going to give you a hug. Let's thank Antoinette B. again. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Andre Key from Montgomery County, Maryland. What? What is it? What is the topic? Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is a good afternoon, eh?
Yes.
We all up in here clean?
Yes.
Ain't nobody jonesing, ain't nobody looking nowhere underneath the chair to see if they dropped a piece or something. That's real shit. I used to look for crack in places I never been. For real. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay.
Woo!
My name is Andre.
Hey, Andre.
I ain't got a problem telling you my last name is Taylor, because I ain't having nobody today. You see, the time when I was hiding, for the time I was using, and I thought nobody knew I was using, so I had to keep hiding. I had to keep showing up late with a different story. You see, the reason this time is, I ran out of gas, and this time, my brother died, and this time was time after time, I just kept trying to find a way to justify the lie. I didn't know how to be truthful. I didn't know how to be me. And you see, that's the reason why I started using, because I didn't know how to be me. I didn't like myself. I was a little boy, little black boy in the ghettos of Southeast Washington, going to the store with food stamps. My father was not in my life, so I was a bastard. My mother had questionable behavior, all kinds of alcohol and stuff around the house and crazy stuff. And I did not want to be identified like that. But I was a kid, I was powerless. I had no idea what to do about that. So when I got of age, I did what I saw the adults do. About the time they picked up a little bottle and they drank a little bit and they felt a little bit better. At least they was acting like they were. They started partying and whooping and hollering. And that was the way I learned to cope with life. I was listening to Antoinette's story, and I was feeling it, We all get here with different paths. We all get here with our own stories. And when I got here, wasn't nobody telling my story. So I couldn't identify in. See, as a black man growing up in the ghetto, y'all, I don't cop to I'm scared or I feel a little inadequate today. I'm feeling lonely because somebody hugged me. I feel sad. I feel ashamed of where I come from. I couldn't tell nobody that. I had to stuff that stuff, man. Is it any wonder that I stuffed those kind of feelings, throw in some alcohol on top of that, drop a couple of pills, smoke a little bit of this, smoke a little bit of that, and what comes out of that volatile, toxic stuff is anger, is confusion, is lashing out at people, is taking advantage of you before you take advantage of me? Is it any wonder? Today I'm here to tell you that My topic is Lost Dreams Awakening. And I found that out on Thursday. My sister called me and said, somebody couldn't do the meeting. Can you do a meeting? And I'm saying, well, I'm really coming up to just hang out in the sun and laugh and see who I ain't seen in a couple years and all of that. You know, it's cool, but you know what? Okay. And see, we had this conversation about a month ago when I was talking with somebody about sharing a meeting, and they were telling me, well, we all right now. And I'm saying, okay, cool. Okay. Because my ego ain't there today, y'all. I've been here a minute. And I'm okay with Drake. I'm really okay with him. I'm okay with whether I share or don't share. Because my sponsor told me that one of the greatest things was I share with my behavior.
Come on.
What are you doing with your life today? See, the mouth can say anything, but behavior don't lie. So I gotta show up today and be the real me everywhere I go. Whether you like me or not, I like me. Whether I like you or not, I gotta accept you and accept the fact that you got the right to be here and be who you are, and that's yours. And today, if I don't like it, I ain't gotta holler at you or cuss you out, try to change you, do nothing like that. I can just leave. If my spirit is troubled by behavior that you're doing or something you're saying, the way you carry yourself, I can just leave. I ain't got to prove a point. I ain't got to argue you down. Now ask me if I do that all the time. I just made a whole bunch of supervisors very upset yesterday. Yesterday. Because they were trying to tell me this new process they got. And I'm looking at them like, man, I done seen Emperor's new clothes, bro. And that what you say up there ain't going to work. That ain't real. And I did not keep it to myself. I let them know it all. That ain't going to work. So when they challenged me, well, you must can't see it because you're like, excuse me? You talking to me? Let me tell you what I know. And it wasn't until I left that meeting, got back to my desk, stopped all the way down the hallway, playing in and who they talking to like that and all that, you know. And I got back to my desk where I got my nice literature stuff laying around me. And I reminded them, dude, you just need to get out the way, man. And you got them all upset in your spirit. And you're carrying their stuff. And you ain't got to do that. But thank God for just for the day. All I had to do was get through that day. And here I am today. Because I knew I was coming to this convention. And I knew I was riding with some brothers that was like knowing me from a long way back, and it was a beautiful thing. And my story today begins like any good story at a bank. You see, we met my man in the parking lot, and it's raining like crazy where we at. He pulls in under the drive-thru. I back my vehicle up under the drive-thru. We change the bags from the car, and people looking at us like, y'all crazy. We just starting out to get wet. And we get back in the car, and you see the look on their faces, man, isn't that crazy? Yeah, man, but that's just life, man. We ain't using it today. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I'm a very serious individual. When I was told the topic was Lost Dream Breaking, my thought is, okay, where's that in the literature? I know it's got to come from the literature because I come from a long way back. Where's it at? So I'm calling them last night. They told me it's in We Can Recover. Yeah. Ah, okay. Now it's hidden in the back of We Do Recover. So I had to read the whole thing to get that one little piece of Lost Dreams Awakening. But I learned a lot reading all the rest of that stuff. It's kind of like recovery. You come in here because you're beat down, you're broke up, and somebody told you that works. You get over there, and you find out there's a lot more to this than just not using. It requires you to do some work, you're going to do some digging. So when I'm looking at that thing last night, I'm saying, well, let's take it all the way through. Because my people where I came from told me, play the tape all the way through. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. That's what the whole thing is. new possibilities arise. Well, I take it a step further, because that's still the middle of the sentence. When drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. You see, what that says to me is I'm going to have to do some work. It's not magic. You see, when I was using, dreams all about magic. See, I was a poet and a songwriter, and I thought I had to expand my mind and raise my consciousness so I could see new vistas and possibilities no one else could see. I could document these things, step forth and get props and recognition and fame and fortune, you know, like Jimi Hendrix. Jimmy dead. Oh. How'd Jimmy die? Yeah. He took drugs. Oh. But that ain't gonna happen to me. I'm different. You see? I'm not hooked. I can stop anytime I want. I just do it because it makes me feel good. Lost. But I still had that dream that I could do that. The problem was, when you look at the definition of loss, it tells you that it's something that is hidden from you. Something you cannot find, no matter how hard you look, is lost. There's a little bit of a difference between lost and gone, though. You see what I'm saying? It's just lost. And when I come into the rooms and I start working the steps, I start finding out how those dreams can be found. They found by me going back the journey on the inside of me. And that requires step work. Step work means you're going to go into that journey inside yourself and find out all your fears, all your own secrets, all the things you were ashamed about, all the things you were afraid of. See, I remember sitting around that table getting high, like my pipe dream, or whether a crack pipe. Sitting there smoking and talking about that, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And every day it was the same thing. It was an endless cycle of using drugs and using drugs and using drugs and using drugs and trying to live life in between. Trying to justify the most outrageous sort of nonsense. Using something that was killing me, that was taking me so far from my dreams, I didn't even know it. But I had no clue until I came here and heard y'all. And I started listening to y'all. And I gave myself a break. I gave myself a time to sit still. And so we start talking about dreams like it's some kind of fantastic thing, and dreams are fantastic things. But a dream that stays a dream is just another thought. Just like I'm using. It's a fantasy. It's an imagination. It's not something rooted in reality. I got to get past the dream. But first, I had to realize who I am and what I really want to do. See, I said I want to be a poet. I want to stand in front of all these people. I want to be a songwriter. I want to stand in front of all these people and do all these wonderful, great things. And I said my problem was I'm too shy. I can't do that. I'm too shy. But when I got here, I found out it wasn't that I was shy. It's that I had fear. I was afraid that you weren't going to like what I gave you. You weren't going to like my song. You weren't going to like my poem. You weren't going to like me. Heck, you wouldn't even give me a chance. As soon as you look at me, you are. I ain't trying to get from that dude. I was afraid. And I had to recognize that what y'all were telling me was true. Because I had been out there so long, y'all, I had been gained by so many people smiling, telling me this was my friend, hanging around me because I had the drugs, because I had the money, because I had the car. And as soon as all that went out, man, I didn't get the time. Oh my God. I got to go to bed. Man, this is going to be cracking all night. You got to go to bed now? What am I supposed to do? I don't know, man, but you got to leave. So now I got to go outside and face the working people. The people who go on to work at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm feeling late. I hope nobody see me, man. Man, but I smell. Look at me. Shame, y'all. But then I came in here. I came in here and y'all told me, you know what? It's okay. I remember the first meeting I came into. Let me tell you this. That situation happened, 7 o'clock in the morning. I got to go home. I'm trying to wait until 8 o'clock because my girlfriend goes to work. I pull into the driveway at 8 o'clock, her car's still there. But I can't turn around and leave now because she might have seen my car.
All right, don't tell no lies, man.
So I climb the stairs and I open the door. And she opened the door, same time I'm opening the door. And she looks at me, and I turn my head down, because I'm ashamed. And she said, no, don't hold your head down now. Be proud, nigga. You all night long. You know, you do what you want. You're a man. You do what you want to do. Go ahead. She said, I ain't here because of you. I'm here because I got to go to court today, so I called in work. And I said, like, and I'm just like, damn. Why would you holler at me? Hit me. Call me a name and tell me I'm working for something. Don't give me this. But she just walked on by the business. Left me with myself. And I ran myself a bath because I told you I was funky. I sat in that tub and I happened to have a pamphlet in my hand and said, am I an addict? And I said yes to 27 questions. And when I saw that, it kind of hit me real hard. You're an addict, man. You're doomed to live this life till you die. And I started crying. And I started feeling real broken and real hurt. There's no way out for me. You know what I'm saying? This ain't fair. I left and I called the NA hotline and I cried all the way through the phone call. Man, look, I got it. And they said, whoa, just go to a meeting. Where you at? Told them where I was. They told me where the meeting was. I had to drive past the street I last cop that night to get to the meeting, and my hand was shaking. Because I could still hear it calling me over here. Hey, you move by the street. Hey. I got to the meeting. I sat in the back of the meeting because I felt so ashamed. I didn't know y'all felt the same way I felt. I didn't know y'all knew my story. I didn't know y'all had been where I had been. I felt ashamed. And I sat in the back and I couldn't share. And the guy next to me kept looking at me like, you all right? I started crying in that meeting, y'all. I still felt that thing of pain. And up until the point where I got up to get my one day at a time chip. I got my one day at a time chip and the room just erupted. And here I am, standing there crying. Somebody's hugging me, give me a damn tag. And I'm crying, and then all everybody's clapping. Yeah, yeah, keep coming back. Yeah. And I'm like, whoo. And then people pull me after the meeting. Where are you going tomorrow? Here's my number, call me. I got you, you okay? And I was home. And for 22 years, I have kept coming back. And I met that guy right there when I had like 3 months clean. And that guy pulled me up under his wing. And that guy walked me, man, carrying me, almost dragging me. There'd be days when I'd be caught up because I was a newcomer. You know, it way off after a while. You know, yeah, I'm all right now. I feel better. But I was going to a meeting. I don't feel like going to a meeting. What's for taking so long, Joe? Drag me to meeting, y'all. I love that brother, man. And I love a lot more brothers in here. I ain't ashamed of that today. You know what I'm saying? To say I love a man. I love them. They walk with me, man. They know what my story. They allow me to tell them where I was. I can tell them I feel inadequate today. I can tell them I feel lonely today. I ain't got to duck and hide. I can be truthful to who I am with people I'm with. And God has put the people in my life. And I remember hearing that in a meeting and reading it in the book because I believe in the literature. And they say that God will put the people in your life that you need to have in your life. All that running around looking for somebody, Just walk your path, y'all. Do your steps. You hear people talk? Listen to their story. Don't do what I do. Fantasize and, oh, that lady right there. Oh, man, I like the way she looks. She must be kind. She must be sweet. I bet she can cook. Oh, man, I bet she can sew. She everything I need. You better listen to their story. You better have a sponsor that you're running by before you go too far up in that. See, because the real deal, I'm pissed at one of my sponsors right now, my sponsees right now, because he hooked up with somebody I didn't think he should be hooking up with. And I'm looking at him like, what you do? What you do that for? But he got to walk his path. I am not his God. I can't judge him, condemn him, throw him away. I have to reflect on I didn't walk a perfect walk when I got in either. And there was, thank you, sir. And there were people who loved me anyway. And they hugged me and told me it was going to be okay. But you got to get to the exact nature. And the only way you're going to get to the exact nature is get to that fourth step, bro. That's what we're talking about. We ain't talking about just make a list. We ain't talking about I did this, I stole this. Why did you steal it? Because I didn't have that. Well, what's that about? About my self-esteem, about my ego, about my arrogance. Okay, well now we got something to work with. You see, now we got to work on your self-esteem. And you do that by doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, you're going to feel good about yourself. What I found out, y'all, is that for 23 years, it's okay to be me. Even when I make a mistake, even when I mess up, and I got to love the next guy just like I do. And I can, what I can tell you today, y'all, is that dreams come true. See, the dream is, I want to be a poet. I am. Back in D.C. area where I'm at, some people know me as a poet. They look me up, they come out to the events where I'm at, and they want to hear me do some stuff. And see, the thing is, it's God's stuff. Here, let me put my name on it. Here. Whoa, man, it's heavy. You know, I just got back from Japan 2 weeks ago. I met somebody who lives in Japan, and they invited me to come over. I spent a week, and I'm telling y'all, looking at the Pacific Ocean, sitting on a cabana in one of those Japanese pools, and like, man, this ain't real, man. This is like commercial stuff, man. This is what you do? Fantastic. So, that's a material thing. But material things speak to something that materializes. I saw the dream up here. This is what I want to do. But until I put the pipe down, I can't get there. So I got to do the work. When I came back, I bought some people these little cards, y'all, because I didn't have a whole lot of money. And I was thinking about how do I personalize these cards, you know, for these people. I got these pictures of Mount Fuji on them, you know. Will they appreciate that? I don't know. It ain't none of your business. You just give the gift, and what they do with it is up to them. So I'm on my way to go to lunch the other day, and all of a sudden pops in my ear is, in life, there are mountains. Some before you, some behind. Some are there to share God's glory. Some are meant for you to climb. And I call my boy, man, look at him. He's like, yeah, I like that. I like that. Just keep that. Yes, I am. Keep something. Don't go the other way. That's enough. All right, man, got to be all that. Keep it there. And I was like, thank you, man. I got people in my life I can call today. Like that, you know. And like I said, my dreams, y'all. I'm wearing a dashiki I bought in Jamaica last year. Underneath this, I got on a t-shirt that I bought from Niagara Falls on my 55th birthday. You know what I'm saying? Material things, they're nice. But really, it's about the journey. It's about the experience. It's about looking at Niagara Falls. And you can watch it on TV, or you can go watch it. You know what I'm saying? God put it in me so I can go watch it. So I can fly across the water and go see what the island of Okinawa looks like. I had that experience. You know, it's beautiful, y'all. And I'm not saying it's the most important thing. The most important thing is staying clean and being true to you. But that means you've got to do the work. You know, because it talks about it one more time. When the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. You see, I'm a poet now, y'all. Without drugs, without alcohol, it kind of inspired me to do anything. And the possibilities arising right now, I'm working on my book. I'm working on a book. I'm working on a CD. And life is good. For the most part, life is good. It's not perfect, because we don't get clean and face a perfect world. But it's beautiful. And see, I go where God tells me to go because God gave me this poem as well. He told me, flow. The first drop of water already knows the path to take, and one day will a river make. Just flow. So I'll be obedient to the Spirit. And somebody calls and says, you need somebody to share me? Okay. I'm out here to burn it down, make it so the next speaker coming up has got a hard act to follow. I'm just here to tell my story, y'all. I'm just here to share a little bit with you because this is the program. This is the program. The jacket I got, San Diego. The 50th anniversary of NA. I got to go see the people that put this thing together. And they told me about how they slept on couches, how they was not wanted in AA meetings because they couldn't identify with us. How we couldn't identify with them. But they had something that was working. So we took what they had working, and we started working it for us, and here we are. And do you realize in July of this year, it ain't gonna be 60 years old. Wow. So there might be somebody out there with 60 years clean. I ain't got a 22, that ain't nothing. So I'm gonna keep on coming back and following their footsteps, y'all. And I hope that wherever I go, because I've been to world conventions. If you're here, plan on going to the World Convention of Philadelphia this year. It's an awesome, awesome thing. You see people from all over the world, whether they speak in French, German, Italian, Greek, Chinese, Russian, and they're all in recovery. You feel so big. I got to go to Okinawa and go to an NA meeting. When they handed me a keychain with Koji written just for the day, I'm like, whoop, 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 whoop. This is beautiful. Because God is everywhere. And God holds this program together. A spiritual program, not a religious one. He keeps all of us in here. And that's why I'm here today carrying his message. Now, I would love to say I'll be there with you, but I got a cruise to catch to Alaska. But I guarantee you, in 2 years from now, when it's in Rio, I'm going to be up in the house. And I hope that you stay clean long enough to do it yourself. I don't know y'all like I know my home group. I don't know who got 1 day or 1 week, 30 days, 60 days, 2 years, 5 years. I hope that you got something from my message. This is just my message. Maybe my message will be the message that gets you, and maybe it won't. Maybe somebody else's message needs to be the one that reaches you, that helps you understand your place in Narcotics Anonymous, your place in the world, and that you can get clean, and your dreams too will awaken and arise and give you an opportunity to reach you. I know that when I was in the military, like I was telling these young men, y'all in the military, y'all scared to share because y'all afraid you're going to go back to your commanding officer and you'll get dishonorable discharge. I understand, I've been there. I know y'all sitting looking at me with locks in my hair, but once upon a time, man, I ain't had no locks. I was just like y'all, a little PFC, sitting there, blaming everybody for my problems, getting off work, running to the bar, knocking it down, flip so-and-so, mad at everybody, don't know what's up, didn't have a clue. I know what it's like. But see, what y'all got to do, y'all got to come together. Because all y'all got is each other. But y'all can hold each other up. And if you work your daggone steps and you be true, you trust God, you utilize the principles of your life, treat each other with respect, trust that each one of us is going to die if we don't help each other out, then y'all will find somebody you can share with from the heart and relieve all that ache and pain that you're carrying around day after day after day after day. There ain't enough alcohol to drown that. There ain't enough drugs to get you high enough to float away from that. trust each other and work this program, and you do it. And I came outside and the guy said, you gotta go. I said, yeah, man, I'm only here for a vacation. I gotta leave. But bro, take another email, man. It's okay. All around the world, you're gonna find people just like you, man. But you gotta have your heart open, man. Have your heart open and true. If you really wanna stay clean, if you really wanna stay clean for real, don't make who's sharing for real. I listen to newcomers that tell me keep it simple. Just for the day. All we got when we come in here is slogans to help them grasp it, because that's all they're capable of sitting still long enough to get it, just that slogan. But you've been around here long enough, you understand what it means. Yesterday, my bosses was taking me through some stuff, and I was pissed. And I came back to my desk, and I saw the thing said, just for the day. Just get through the day, man. Don't go back and approach nobody else. You still got 2 hours to do. Keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and get through the day. You're going to be okay. And next week, we'll deal with that when we come. You see, when I was in the military and everybody kicked me out, I confessed to the fact that I had an alcohol problem and sent me to treatment. And I kept trying to game the system and play the games. I'm not really here because I got a problem. I'm only here because I'm trying to stay in the military and not get a doctor's honorable discharge. And then I met this woman. She's about this big, about this round. She was not my complexion. But she sat still and told me her story. And I'm looking at her like, because she told my story. So don't judge nobody. My sister said, don't judge nobody up in here, y'all, because you don't know where the help gonna come from. And for real, the next person sitting next to you, they ain't your problem. You are your problem. But it's up to you to do the work to find out how you are your problem. Now I probably ran over. I'm getting that feeling like I did. And I really do feel kind of bad about that, because I'm trying to be obedient today about what the real deal is. I'm just trying to reach somebody, y'all, for real. Because God blessed me with the gift of recovery. And he told me to go forth and give the message, man. And all I do each day is do the best I can. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. Thank God for letting me share.